Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, good, man. How's it going?
I'm doing a lot better than our Knicks are right now.
Don't remind me.
I don't want to remind you, but yeah, unfortunately, that's the elephant in the room. So we're gonna talk. We gotta face it, man. We're gonna talk about them. We're
late
off the show with it, unfortunately, folks. We're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about the Nets in the playoffs. They're currently facing the Bucks. So they defeated the Celtics. We'll talk about other stuff that's going on in the playoffs. The Mets, the Yankees. Big news coming out of, AEW, with a surprise, debut at, on Dynamite. And, they had the AEW Double or Nothing pay-per-view event, this past week. We'll talk about that as well. And of course, unfortunately, the WWE, they fired some notable names again. Seems like every couple of weeks the WWE is doing this. So it looks like we're going to unfortunately, I'm going to have not one but two rants going on today. But most importantly, we love to hear from you. So, feel free to make your voices heard and call the number. That's 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. And if you are a Knicks fan, hey, for this hour and change, let me and Mac be your therapist, and I guess psychologist. Free of charge.
We'll be all of that.
So, with that said, man, let's just dive right into the today's episode. Is called Randle goes MIP to MIA versus the Atlanta Hawks. RIP 2001 Knicks playoff run rant. So yeah, basically it is what it is, man. Obviously, you know, coming to this season, the expectations were low. You know, they did get a great coach in Tom Thibodeau. So I to be honest with you, and if you look back in, you know, this past year, hiring Tom Thibodeau and you know, the off season and all that stuff, you know, I did predict them to be a playoff team. I did predict them to have a strong second half, but I envisioned that they would have a slow start, you know, coming into the season, you know, with a new head coach and, you know, him molding his, you know, the team in his image. I thought they would have had a, you know, they would have struggled, you know, they would have had a bad first half. And then afterwards, second half, they would have a much stronger second half to propel them to the eighth spot. But none of us could envision, you know, the thrills that the Knicks team would have given us in this regular season. You know, they had a strong second half. First half, they had an even stronger second half, where, you know, they were able to, you know, catapult them out of the play-in scenario and right into the fourth spot. So we're riding high. Randle playing, you know, he got the MIP as we all expected him to. You know, we thought he should have been a MVP candidate. He was even in the running. You know, we thought he should have been. But never in our wildest dreams that we thought he would struggle like this. Yeah, you know, we knew this series against the Atlanta Hawks wasn't going to be a cakewalk. You know, I predicted this series to go seven. So for me to say that I'm surprised that, you know, the Hawks gave it to us, you know, they just whooped up behind. You know, I can't say I'm shocked that they won some games, and much less the entire series. But I'm shocked. I am so shocked that Randle disappeared. This guy, man, this guy went MIA when we need him the most. And yes, I know this is his first playoff, you know, debut, and you know, there's a lot of pressure. Obviously, you know, obviously he's the man in New York with the Knicks. All the pressure, all eyes are on him. You know, so obviously there's going to be some struggles. Nothing's going to be easy. But for his regular season statistics and performance to drop so rapidly, I mean, it really gives me pause that we should give him, you know, that we should give him a max contract. You know what I mean? I think they should. You know, I think they should re-sign them, but, you know, we definitely got to get at least one or two guys. Because on a championship-caliber team, he would be our third best option. And I think I've been saying that for years, but, you know, I was impressed by what he was doing this year. You know, he took himself to that next level. You know, I thought, you know, he finally became a star. And, you know, if he had a couple of years like this, he could become a superstar. But for him to regress so horribly in the playoffs and, you know, disappear like this, I mean, it's scary. I mean, we easily could have got swept if they didn't miss all those shots in game two, you know. But, I mean, they just need to improve the team in every facet. You know, Randle, he can't, you know, as much as I love and respect Randle and all he's done for the team this year, you know, we gotta get some more stars to come here. You know, what's your thoughts, Mac? Before I go any further.
Well, you know, the Knicks they overachieved this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I expected them to be, you know, at least a 7-8 seed, but you know, they overachieved and got a 4 seed and had home court advantage. and they had players play extremely well this year. You know, as you said, Randall became the most improved player. He improved his game drastically, you know, compared to last year. And, you know, you had some other guys. Reggie Bullock played well. RJ Barrett, you know, in his second year, he improved vastly. Yeah, a lot of guys, you know, improved their games, and which led to the Knicks having a very good season. You know, despite them, you know, pretty almost getting swept by the Hawks in this first round, you know, this, I think this season was very successful. You know, there's a lot to build on, you know, going forward. So I don't think Knicks fans should, you know, be too down, you know, about this first round exit to the Hawks. But the thing that we should be concerned about is, you know, Randall did not play well at all, you know, in this postseason. And this guy was our top, was our leading scorer. And he reverted back to the Randall of old from last year, where he made just, you know, stupid turnovers, just made some stupid shots. And, so, you know, sometimes he was just invisible, you know, and he was hesitant to shoot. And, you know, I don't think Randall is a max player, but I think he's definitely worth a lot of money to keep. You know, you don't want to see him go to another team and help that other team win the championship. So I do want to keep him as a Knick. But, yeah, I would not give him a max contract. I don't think he's a max contract-worthy player. But we cannot see another performance like this again in the postseason by Randall. Next year, I hope to see him improve his game even more, and hopefully next year he'll have a much better performance in the postseason than he had this year.
I agree with absolutely everything you said, man. This year, this offseason, he had, you know, to his credit, this past offseason, you know, he improved his three-point shot and, you know, just attacking the ball in all facets. But this upcoming offseason, which, I mean, I guess technically it started already since we got eliminated by the Hawks. He has to be ambidextrous, man. He can't be predictable, with which hand he always gonna score with, which side of the court he likes to shoot in. He has to improve. He has to improve on that aspect. You know, same thing with Barrett. They need to improve, man. And we need a point guard. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Derrick Rose, he's great. You know, should have won the sixth man award. You know, he's been great, but you know, Father Time is, you know, nipping at him. You know, even though he was great in the playoffs, but you know, he needs to stay off the, you know, he needs to come off the bench. You know, he's a great spark off the bench. You know, he is our best point guard option right now. You know, I mean, you know, quickly needs to develop a little bit more. You know, they do have that, what, Argentinian point guard, that's, you know, they expect to pop up next year, but they need a proven guy. You know what I mean? Like, whether they trade for Damian Lillard, or if, you know, I know you don't like this, but if, you know, Chris Paul declines his $44 million option, I mean, that's a guy they could pursue, but only for a two-year max deal. Nothing more than 2 years. That'd be insane. Or you could even go after Lonzo Ball, who played really well. You know, he's I think, a restricted free agent. So you could go after him in that sense as well. So, I mean, they really – number one, they really need a point guard. Absolutely need a point guard. You know what I mean? Because that really killed us, especially Trae Young, man. I mean, he just – I'm surprised I'm not having nightmares right now as I'm talking to you about him. I mean, he really destroyed us, man. Like, it's crazy. And you have Clint Capella talking trash about us, about sending us to the vacation. And then, you know, and he did. He backed it up. He even paid for the tickets. I mean, that was nice of him, you know. But, like, man, that was embarrassing. And then, you know, RJ Barrett was irritated by someone you know, talking about the thing, and he's like, we going to win. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, I know in his heart he felt he's going to, you know, him and the team's going to win, you know, and he did play better, you know, R.J. Barrett, to his credit. You know, unfortunately, Ewing, you know, he's made promises that we were going to win championships, and, you know, it wasn't his fault, obviously, but, you know, when you make guarantees, you gotta deliver on them. You know what I'm saying? Like, even going back to WWE, which we're going to talk about, you know, with the Usos guaranteeing they're going to win the tag team titles, you know, well, we're definitely going to talk about that later today when we talk more about wrestling. But, yeah, you know, once you call your shot, you got to deliver. No matter if the referee is not looking, no matter if, you know, you slip on a banana peel or whatever, you got to come through. You got to come through in the clutch, because history is going to show that did you deliver on what you said or did you not? You know, life isn't fair, but you got to make the most of it. You got to make lemonade out of lemons, you know. You know, that's just the way it is, unfortunately. And I just hope that this Knick team fell forward, you know what I mean? They use this as a stepping stone, you know, season, regular season that they had, and that they can acquire players to improve this team, you know, because the question is, can they replicate this? Yes, we got Randall. Yes, we got Barrett going back. But a lot of the people that were part of our success, they're going to be free agents. You know what I mean? It's a slippery slope. What we got to do, because we got to improve this team significantly. So unfortunately we're not going to be able to, you know, re-sign everybody back. And plus, we need to make upgrades with this team. You know what I mean? You know, so. But the good thing about it is that, you know, I do have faith in, you know, Scott Perry and Leon Rose with what they're doing, and the coaching and the scouting staff that they had. You know, they've made some good moves. They've really made some good moves that sped up the rebuilding process that you know, this team would have been going through. So I'm optimistic that they're going to make the right moves to help propel this team. And let's go Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely need more scoring from the guard spot. And they need another big man, I think.
Absolutely, 100%.
But I hear rumors about them possibly trying to trade for Lillard. I mean, if you're going to trade for Damian Lillard, you're going to have to give up a lot. We're talking about maybe give up quickly –
Top end,
so a couple of draft picks,
Knox.
Third round picks. Yes, you're gonna have to give up a lot. So I wouldn't give up that much for Lillard. If we can try to get someone else, maybe, I don't know, maybe go after Lonzo, or I'm also hearing CJ Collum. That's another one.
That's another trade that they're possibly thinking about doing, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a rumor, but yeah, you definitely got to improve on that. Whether you trade for Lillard, which would be, oh my goodness, that would be a blockbuster move if they could get Damian. Because Damian Lillard, that is the point guard you need on the Knicks, man. This guy, he's clutch. Like, as you saw, Trae Young was clutch, you know, against us. You need a point guard like that to counter that, like, for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, even Chris Paul, like, that's a great point guard, but obviously he's aging. But if you could get him on a 1 or 2 year deal, and, you know, you could have him mentor quickly, or anybody you draft, or even the Argentinian guy we just drafted that, you know, that should be joining the team this year. You need a star guy like that to the rebuilding process, but also mentoring the young point guards, because Quickly got it, man. You know, if it was up to me, I would give the keys to Quickly. You know, I think he has the heart and the guts that it takes to be a point guard. You know, he just needs a little bit more development. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I definitely think they should get a star point guard. I mean, obviously, Derrick Rose was in that spot, obviously, you know, but, he can't like, play regularly, you know, like, starting in the minutes. You know what I mean? He played great for us, but, you know, those minutes were starting to add up towards the end, those last couple of games, you know, for us. So, yeah, they definitely need that. And, now, of course, yeah, they definitely need to get a big, you know what I mean, to go with Mitchell Robinson if they're going to keep him, which I think they should, you know, even though he's been injured, you know, he was injured this year, but, you know, a guy like that, a young, talented guy, you know, I think you would need a big man to put him, you know, put on the team. You know, maybe push him to the, you know, like, I definitely think so. And if you could keep Noel, you know, put him on the bench, you know, and try to re-sign some of these guys, I think it would be a good move. But they definitely need to improve the star power of this team. And hopefully the stuff that they did will open the eyes of some people who can change the culture.
Yeah. If I told you several names and what they have in common, do you think you would be able to tell me the answer?
Sure.
So I'll give you the three names. Bobby Portis, Tim Hardaway Jr., and who was the other player I was thinking of? Oh, yeah, Austin Rivers.
They're all guys who played for the Knicks recently.
Uh-huh. And
they're in the playoffs right now?
Exactly. They're in the playoffs, and they're all playing well for their team.
Mm-hmm.
Think about
it.
Bobby
Portis,
he's playing well for the Bucks right now, although they lost tonight to the Nets, but that's a guy I thought played well for the Knicks last season, and that's the guy the Knicks probably should have kept. And then you have a guy like Austin Rivers who was playing well earlier this year. I don't know why the Knicks decided to release him because he had some good games, I thought. A few games.
No, actually, they traded him. They traded him away.
They
were going to release him, but they traded him away. And I never liked that move, to be honest with you, because he had some games where he helped us win ball games.
Yeah,
and then it was like towards the end of his tenure with the Knicks, Thibodeau wasn't playing him, you know.
Yeah,
and I feel like he had some clutch moments, you know. He could help us win a game or two, you know what I'm saying? So I just felt it wasn't.
And then Tim Hardaway Jr., who who was a 2-time Knick,
mm-hmm.
you know, I thought his second go around was much better than the first, even though people
were
still, you know, bad-mouthing the Knicks for the contract we gave them.
Yeah, I think the contract was excessive at the time for sure.
Yeah.
Especially a guy you had and you just traded him away, and then, you get him back. If you're going to give a – you know what I mean? But it is what it is.
And so all those Knicks right now, they're performing well for their teams. And, you know, think about if we still had them, maybe we could have gone further. In the playoffs.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Especially with Austin Rivers, I think they would have went deeper. Tim Hardaway Jr. Yeah, I think I would have to agree with that.
Bobby Portis, you know, tall guy, gives you some rebounding shooting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Austin definitely got cold, you know, in this Hawks series. And we just couldn't stop them.
Yeah, Hawks just played much better. They're more talented. They have better shooters than we have. They play better defense.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't stop Trae Young. You know, they were just a better team. And, you know, again, if the Hawks don't go cold in that second half, they could have swept us in this series.
I know, man.
Let's be real.
We just couldn't stop them. It was like they were immune to everything. They had immunity. The only thing that was missing was Jeff Post handing them the idol. You know what I'm saying? Like, they outwit us, they outlast us, and they outsurvived us and outplayed us. So, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but they deserved it more than we did. Even though I hate it, I wish we were still in the playoffs. I wish we would have knocked them off, at least, or at the very minimum, at least took them to Game 7.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, man. They just dominated us. it sucks, but it is what it is, man. Hopefully, you know, this is the building blocks of you know, the Knicks, you know, getting back on top.
Yeah.
And not of admiration.
Again, nothing to hold your head down. You know, the Knicks, they can build on this and they can get better next year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's go next one. We'll keep you guys posted, whatever, you know, rumors or news that the Knicks are having in this off season as the playoffs go on. And meanwhile, our you know, the other New York team, our hometown team, even though we don't root for them, you know, the Brooklyn Nets. And, you know, they had a big game on Saturday. And, you know, Kevin Durant scored 29 points. Kyrie Irving scored 25. And, of course, you know, that propelled them to the 115-107 victory against the Milwaukee Bucks. But the other big story about this this story is that, James Harden, you know, he left the game in the first quarter with a hamstring injury. So, you know, hamstring injuries are really tough. They're nagging, you know, they could, you know, who knows how serious this injury is, but it took them out of the game. So, you know, the Nets fans, they're hoping that, you know, this is a minor thing and hoping for a speedy recovery. And, you know, the good news about that is it gave Blake Griffin and Joe Harris an opportunity to step up in a bigger, spot than they anticipated. Joe Harris scored 19 points. And then Blake Griffin, he stole the DeLorean from Marty McFly and Doc Brown and went back to the future and gave us a Clippers performance, you know, 18 points, 14 rebounds. So, you know, props to him.
Yeah, props. And Nets are looking good. Even without Harden, you know, they still play real well. But, you know, I think it's still going to be a tough series. And I still think it can go 7 games.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, this is going to be a tough series. I definitely agree this is going to go to the wire, 7 games for sure. Because, these are two tough teams, man. That I totally agree with you. And this playoff has been, you know, exciting, you know, all around. I mean, even the Knicks, man, even though, you know, the Knicks unfortunately only lasted the first round, but, man, there was a buzz in the Garden. I mean, the way how, you know, the fans were reacting and the interaction, like, you could see the difference in the playoffs with just the Knicks being in there, you know. But, yeah, a lot of major series happened, you know. The Nets, you know, they defeated the Celtics in 5. You know, the Utah Jazz defeated the Grizzlies in 5 games. Unfortunately, the Hawks defeated us in 5. The Nuggets battling the Trailblazers. Now the Nuggets lead. They won the series against the Trailblazers, which obviously, which propelled Lillard to, you know, mention that even though the other team was missing some of their star players, you know, they were able to overcome them. So, you know, Lillard is having his, you know, come to Jesus moment of how is this team going to improve so that he could exit out the first round, whether he has to be traded or, or they have to make the moves in order for them to get out of this, you know, so that they won't have another first round exit next year. And then of course you got the defending world champion Lakers getting defeated by the powerhouse Phoenix Suns. Apparently LeBron James left, you know, early in one of the games. I think it was the second to last game. And I don't know if you saw this, but after the game when they got eliminated, LeBron James, you know, he was basically saying, like, you know, he's not going to play, you know, in Tokyo for the Olympics, that he's going to play for the Monstars. No, not he's going to play against the Monstars, you know, in the Space Jam. So he used that opportunity to, you know, I guess move on from the playoff loss, the first round exit, and, you know, he promoted his Space Jam 2 movie. I mean, no joke, man. He literally promoted his Space Jam movie. You know what I'm saying? I get you got the platform. But dude, like, you're LeBron James, man. You could have posted on Instagram or anything, or, you know, and talked about it, and people, you're going to have millions of people watch this movie anyway. Like, I don't know, man. I know, you know, as an athlete, you know, I shouldn't say I know as an athlete, because obviously I'm an athlete, but, you know, you can understand, like, athletes, you know, they have the mentality of, like, you know, once the thing is done, it's done, you know, you move on from it. But it's like, man, like, it it seemed like he had, like, a business mentality about it. Like, dude, you just got eliminated from the playoffs, you know, at home. So it's like, I felt like he should have been a little bit more emotional about the loss. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, this is unknown territory for LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't get eliminated, you know, early in the playoffs too often. You know, if any time, you know. So
I think this was his first time ever.
This was his first time ever. So, but LeBron, you know, he's done it all. So, I'm not thinking too much of it. You know, it is what it is. You know, him promoting the movie, I don't think it was an inappropriate time. You know, because the movie is coming out soon. Mm-hmm. So he needs to promote it anyway. And so, you know, I'm not making a big deal out of it, but as far as this Laker loss, this was a very disappointing season for the Lakers. Thought they were going to try to repeat as champions, but they got steamrolled by these Phoenix Suns, mainly because Anthony Davis, you know, he can't stay healthy. And Charles Barkley named him street clothes because he's always in street clothes more than he's playing. He's on the court. But, yeah, I mean, this was a disappointing season for the Lakers, and, you know, they're a team that's going to have to rebuild and maybe start over, you know.
Defending world champions, too.
Yeah, defending world champions. Well, now they're not anymore. So,
well, yeah,
after
I know.
This year. But,
well, yeah.
And
there will
I'm
be
hearing,
a new champion.
There will be a new champion, and I'm hearing, you know, some rumors that maybe LeBron James hangs it up after this year.
Well, I heard that. I doubt it. But what I heard was Pat Riley, you know, wants him to return to Miami.
That's not gonna happen.
Yeah, you never
I don't
know.
See that happening. But I hear Shannon Fry was saying that LeBron James should hang it up, you know, because
mm-hmm.
He did suffer some injuries this year.
Right.
And, you know, Lakers, who knows where what direction they go next year. But, and he is getting older.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, and you should go out on top. You don't want to be one of those guys that keeps playing, you
uh-huh.
know, and then you get injured or your team sucks every year. I mean, you should go out on top. And right now would be the perfect time for LeBron to go out on top if he did decide to retire.
Yeah, that is a good point. Because if he does play next year or a couple of years, he might be washed up because he does have this hamstring problem.
Yeah.
That is a good point. I think he has a couple of years left in him, but you might have a point.
Yeah.
It's not like Tom Brady where, you know, you're 4 years old and you're not really running around and jumping. You know, you're just standing one place being protected by an offensive line throwing the ball, you know. LeBron, he's running, he's jumping. So that takes a toll on your body.
I think he has maybe a year or two of him left. I don't know. I just can't see him leaving without having a farewell tour. You know, I just envision him like
you could be like, you know, this is gonna be my last year. You know, I'm just gonna go to the thing. You know what I mean?
And then you gonna have him a big pop and start.
You're doing a stereotypical black voice, man.
Hey, some of my best friends and some of the people, the person I look in the mirror are happen to be black people. So,
no, I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah. Well, seriously, man. What was I gonna say? I can't see him walking away, you know, riding off into the sunset without pomp and circumstances. Like, this is last game ever. This is last game in Staples Center. This is the last game at the Garden. You know, or this is him back at the American Airlines Arena, like in Miami, you know, like there's going to be like these big, you know what I mean? I can't see him just walking away in the off season without like having this whole big hoopla about every major game he's playing. Oh, this is his last game in Cleveland and all this stuff. Like that, you know what I mean? Like to me, there has to, I would be shocked if he would retire and then you don't see him have his bunch of moments of cheering for him or telling them how he really feels about him and all that stuff.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, unlike Tim Duncan, you know, he just left, and you know, it just seems more like his character of you know, having his head down and just doing the work. But you know, LeBron, he doesn't only just want to do the work. You know, he wants to style and profile. You know, while he does it. You know, so to me, it just seems like he would do it. You know what I mean? Like he would have a major going away party before he just leaves.
Yeah.
And and then you got the Mavericks versus you know, the Clippers. Who you think's gonna win that series?
Yeah, that was a good. I was watching that last night. That was a really good game. Kawhi had a close to almost 50 points in that game, the fourth game seven.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Clippers are going to win. I think they're going to win.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, man. Like, the Mavericks had a chance to close it out, and I always feel like if you have the lead, you know, in game six and you blow it, especially at home, it's tough to come back the game seven and win it. When you blew that opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, to me, Clippers is going to take it. Clippers is going to be at home. Mavericks had their chance to close it out in Dallas, and they failed. So, yeah, to me, all the momentum is with the Clippers, even though, obviously, the series is tied at three. But, yeah, Clippers, hands down. And you know, Kawhi, he stepped up when his team needed it the most, so. I think they're definitely gonna advance. And then you had you know, the Wizards getting eliminated in five by the 76ers. Yeah, man, we've had a lot of good playoffs going on here. So yeah, you know, we'll keep you posted on what's going on. And shifting gears, right now we're going to talk Mets baseball. And the Mets, they've been dominated by the Padres, you know, this whole series. And the Padres have been, I'll admit it, you know, we've dominated the Giants, we've dominated the Dodgers. But the Padres, man, they've been our Padres, man, especially in San Diego. It's like we keep losing these tough games, like 2-1 games and, you know, 1-run games. We always lose to this team. But as I'm speaking to you right now, Mets are leading 2-0. Peraza homered maybe a minute or so ago. But Francisco Lindor, as I'm speaking, he just went deep maybe about 20 seconds ago. And
Francisco Lindor sighting.
Yeah. Francisco Lindor, man, I think if I understand me right, this is his fifth home run of the year. So the Mets are leading 2-0. That was a two out solo home run by Lindor, and he's been heating it up. He's finally over the Mendoza line, and a base hit by Pete Alonso as we speak. So that's another two out hit. And this is against Musgrove, you know, the guy who just threw a no-hitter a couple of starts ago, the first no-hitter in San Diego Padres history, which made them the last team in Major League out of all the current Major League teams to finally throw a no-hitter. You know, as you remember in the offseason, the Padres and the Mets were the two teams that made the most moves, and obviously the Padres, man, they made a lot of moves. They traded for Snell right off the World Series loss with the Tampa Bay Rays. They acquired Darvish, you know, from the Cubs. They've I'm trying to think what other stuff they've done recently. Because they made a lot of big moves. Obviously, you know, they signed Machado a few years ago. They have Tatis Jr. This Padre team is scary. You know, I won't lie. This is probably the first time I've been scared of the Padres ever.
Yeah, they got a good team. They got hitting, they got pitching, defense. Yeah, they could be a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people pick them to win the World Series this year. So it's not out of the question that they could go very far.
This could be the NLCS for all we know. I mean, this Padres team is tough. Oh, they just made an error, a two-out error, which prolongs Dom Smith at bat right now. Counts 1-2. You know, the Mets, you know, they did well on the road trip, their previous road trip. They won a 2 out of 3 against the Padres. Not Padres, the D-backs. And they blew a game that they should have won a few days ago. And the funny thing is that before the Padres played the Mets in this earlier this week, they snapped the 13 game losing streak to the Cardinals. So basically, what was I gonna say? So then they snapped their 13 game losing streak to the Cardinals, and then they lost to us again, I think, and then afterwards. They beat us when we blew the lead, when Diaz blew his first save of the year when he was trying to go perfect 10-for-10. But do you know what team started their 13 game losing streak?
The Mets.
I knew you'd get it right, man. And of course, it was the Mets. The Mets swept them, and that propelled, or I should say, that made the Padres go into a nosedive. Where they lost 13 games in a row. So they snapped their 13-game losing streak to the Cardinals. The Mets made them start a brief one-game losing streak. And, the Mets left them with another losing. I don't know how many games they've lost now, but the Mets won the rubber game. And then now the Mets, man, they've been dominated by the Padres. And no matter how bad the Padres have been, like, for the past almost a decade, they've been playing pretty well against us, you know. But right now, the Mets, they're on a good spot start. They're, you know, Right now they're leading 2-0. They got DeGrom on the mound against Musgrave. So, you know, this is definitely the pitching duel that we expected. And, you know, we'll see what happens. What was I going to say? I can't even think of what I was going to say, but yeah, let's hope the Mets can stay healthy with these moves that, because they have a lot of people missing on, you know, on the IL. They're still waiting for Carrasco to come back maybe later this month. Syndergaard, he's most likely going to come back in September, you know, if possible. And, yeah, the Mets, you know, they're just trying to hold on to this divisional lead with all these injuries. So, prop to my Mets. Hopefully they can win it all in October if they can get there. So, we'll see what happens. But shifting gears to your beloved New York Yankees, right now, you know, they're not doing too well against their divisional rivals. They lost by the final score of 7-3. Your boy Gleyber Torres, he had a 3 RBI game, but unfortunately for the Bronx Bombers, it wasn't enough for them tonight. So, Mac, what's your thoughts on the Yankees so far?
Very inconsistent, as it's been all season long. And now we've lost 3 in a row. We lost yesterday to Red Sox. And today we give up 4 runs. Well, Chad Green allowed 4 runs in the 8th. And Red Sox don't want to win this game 7-3. And, yeah, man, the Yankees have been like this all year, up and down, like a seesaw. You know, I don't understand it. I mean, this team is too talented to be playing this way. Yet they're playing down. To their competition sometimes, and they're not, especially, you know, you're playing these big games against your rivals in the same, that's in your division, and you're not stepping up and playing well. And the offense is, I don't know, this offense is probably one of the worst offenses I've seen by Yankee team in a long time. And just think, you got a lot of guys who are offensively capable, but for some reason they can't hit in big spots.
LeMahieu.
You know, LeMahieu right now, yeah, he's not living up to the LeMahieu hype, you know, from the past 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just his wife, you know, he had a kid recently. You know, I don't know if that's playing into him playing the way he is. I don't know. The only person right now you can rely on is Aaron Judge, who's, you know, he's on the All-Star. It was most likely going to go to the All-Star mm-hmm. game this year. But he's the only guy that we can rely on. Everyone else is just sleeping. You know, and Stan just came back from injury, but right now, you know, he's just struggling a little bit too. I don't understand it. I mean, if this Yankee team misses the playoffs, then you're going to have to, like, there's going to be a mass overhaul. And I could even see Cashman being fired this year. And, you know, I've been a big Cashman supporter, but if they don't make the playoffs, if they miss the playoffs this year, after failing to win the championship the last several years, then Cashman might have to go. He might have to go.
Yeah, I mean, surprising as that sounds, I mean, it is possible. You know, the Yankees, they've always been about results, and obviously he's won, what, 5 titles with them. While he's within the organization. But, yeah. They might think this year is the time for a change.
Yeah, it might be the time for a change, you know. You have to change this team up. Because if he doesn't make the playoffs, that's going to be a huge disappointment. And heads are going to have to roll.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, for sure. Yeah, we'll definitely keep you posted on, you know, what's going on with the Yankees, for sure. Yeah, in hockey news, the Islanders, they even up the series at 2-2 against the Bruins. So, you know, props to them on, you know, on their road, you know, in the playoffs right here. They beat the Bruins by the final score of 4-1. Matt Barzal, he hit what proved to be the game winner late in the third period. So, you know, the Islanders, they're still in it. And, we'll definitely keep you posted with that. So now the Islanders, now they're going to go to Boston on Monday night. And then, you know, if they can win game 5 in Boston, try to go back, you know, to the Nassau Coliseum in game 6 on Wednesday night and close the series out. So we'll see what happens. But shifting gears to wrestling. And, yeah, before we go into the AEW news, should I tell you what, you know, who's the latest person who went to AEW? I don't know if you heard.
I heard. I saw the Vicky Guerrero announcement.
Oh, you did hear about that?
Yeah, I saw the video.
Okay. So you know about that. So I guess we'll talk about that momentarily, and let's just dive right into the WWE firings that they've done lately. And yeah, man, just when you think it was safe as a WWE superstar, you know, to be in the company after they got rid of Samoa Joe and some other people that escaped me at the moment, then now they get rid of Braun Strowman, a former Universal Champion, Lana, Ruby Riott, who to me, had they used her well, she could have been a championship caliber wrestler, because you know she could have been like what's her name, Paige. You could have had that edgy anti-diva type of wrestler. I mean, she was very popular in the indies anyway. I mean, like, they could have used her. Like, there's several people inside the company that are very talented, but WWE is not using them right. For whatever reason, Vince doesn't see it in them to put the title on them, you know? But, yeah, them getting rid of Lana and oh, yeah, Aleister Black, too. They got rid of him. Like,
which makes no sense.
That was, like, that was like the dumbest thing. Aleister Black has been gone for, like, 7 months. He finally comes back last week. The week before that. 2 weeks ago. He kicks, what's his name, Briggy in the face, which was supposed to start a rivalry against them. Then he's missing the following week, and then we find out he's fired. What was that all about? Like, that don't make no sense. Why would you bring a guy back for months? Guy hasn't been there for months. Prior to that, they kept having all these promos, you know, the dog father and all this stuff, promoting this guy, giving a story time. And then he comes back, he gives his black mask kick, and then he's gone. Like, where's the retaliation for Big E? You know what I mean? It don't make no sense. WWE, I mean, they don't have no logic. There's no logic going on there. I mean, like, it's like Disney Star Wars logic that they're going with. Like, it makes no sense. You clearly see that they were building up to something, and then they just changed their mind in the last minute. It just shows like there's no structure, there's no plan to what they're doing. Because if you had a plan that you're going to start a feud with, what's his name, with Aleister Black versus Big E, and then you just fire him like that, like, come on. That'll make no sense.
Yeah, that'll make... I didn't get that at all because you just brought back Aleister Black. You just brought him back.
And you repackaged him.
Yeah. And then you release him? That doesn't make any sense what they did.
Oh, my gosh, man. Like, are you serious? Like, so Biggie don't even have no revenge. You know, the only thing I can compare this to is it was like that first SmackDown when they had, you know, The Rock versus Triple H. Triple H was the champion. Rock was going to win the title. And then you have Shawn Michaels legitimately super kick him in the face. Almost knocked him out towards, you know, there was no retaliation. Because remember, this was like around the time when, during the Shawn Michaels' first retirement, when he was dealing with the back surgery. So there was no retaliation. No retaliation whatsoever. Because obviously, if you've been watching this show for the past, since 2009, you know, the greatest match, in my opinion, that never happened was Rock versus Shawn Michaels. So for them to have this build up to something that never amounted to anything, you know, on screen, because apparently Rock, according to, you know, Rock's father, you know, the late great Rocky Johnson, The Rock confronted him backstage, and apparently they had a fight backstage, and it didn't look good for the Heartbreak Kid, you know, apparently. So if you had that, like, there was no retaliation on screen for The Rock, which goes against his entire character. Because, you know, once you talk smack to The Rock or you fight The Rock always gets his revenge on you. But for him, like, the only thing he had was, like, he came back and, like, you know, if he sees him again, he's going to whoop his behind. You know that. You know what I mean? Like that's WWE's explanation of him getting legitimately kicked in the face. Like it wasn't like a fake kick or a kick where he didn't give all of it. Like he legitimately super kicked them. Like if you watch the thing, like he really kicked them, and you know reportedly. Him and Rock didn't get along, which, you know, added on to that moment. And, you know what I mean? So, to me, this having Aleister Black come back, super kick, or I should say, roundhouse kick or black mask, as it's called, the kick, come out of nowhere and then get no retaliation, I mean, it's just dumb. It's dumb booking at its finest.
Yeah.
It's a head scratcher, and I'm literally scratching my head right now, like thinking of the logic of the build up that led to nothing. It's dumb. And another thing is like they've been subtly giving us hints that Brock Lesnar is coming back because they finally mentioned him. You know, on Raw, Drew McIntyre mentioned that he defeated him at WrestleMania, and Bobby Lashley was saying, "Why are you mentioning him? He's not even here." If Brock Lesnar comes back and he does not fight against Bobby Lashley, which most likely is going to go down to SummerSlam, man, Brock Lesnar better not even come back. Because that, to me, like Brock Lesnar should only come back for this Bobby Lashley match. That's it. If he never fights Bobby Lashley, I don't want to see him come back. I'm serious.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm zoning out. If he comes back and fights anybody other than Bobby Lashley, I'm zoned out. If he comes back to fight Drew McIntyre again, I don't care. If he fights anybody else other than Bobby Lashley, at the very latest by WrestleMania 38 or what 37? Yeah, it is 38 coming up. Man, I'm checking out, man. Cause it's like, come on, man. It's about time WWE, man. They gotta cash in on these dream matches. They never gave us Rock versus Shawn Michaels. They darn sure did not give us Sting versus Undertaker. You know, Kurt Angle versus Daniel Bryan. They didn't give us that, and they both had those guys do a special talking to each other, like well, how the match would have been. And this was before both of those guys came out of retirement. And they didn't give us that match, but yet they gave us Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin to end his career. Like, I mean, like, seriously. Like, when you have these legendary guys, you got to give us these dream matches because there's a shelf life to these guys. You know what I mean? To their careers. You have to – come on, like. I mean, it's just frustrating.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if we want to see that Lashley-Lesnar match, we've been waiting years for it. And if he comes back, that's the only opponent I want to see him wrestle. I want to see him wrestle anyone else.
Exactly. Because if he doesn't come back and fight Bobby Lashley, then it's something personal.
Yeah.
Is 100%. It's something personal. He don't think he's good enough or whatnot. That's the only explanation because he has to come back. Come on, man. Like, it sells itself. Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. Two like NCAA, MMA, WWE champions battling it out. And then you got their managers, MVP and Paul Heyman. Like, I mean, come on. Like, the mic skills that's going to be dropped, the mic drops that's going to be on there. Like, that's gold right there. Like, come on. You can't, come on. It has to lead up to SummerSlam. And they better not be making these guys burn these guys to the ground that they get hurt and then we don't have this match. Because, man, they better give it to us, man. That's all I have to say about that. Let me think what happened. SmackDown, we had Rey Mysterio and Dominik versus the Usos. And you know that you could say that could be a dream matchup. You know, I mean. We didn't think of it as a dream matchup because it never occurred to us that Rey Mysterio and his son Dominik would ever, you know, fight as a tag team, much less win it. But you know, that was an unexpected dream match right there, seeing those two factions battling out, first time ever sons champions and they're fighting against brothers. So I mean, that's a real cool moment.
Yeah, that's gonna be big. That's gonna be big.
I mean, it happened on SmackDown. They fought twice, you know, and the Usos, they lost the first time to start the show, and one of the Usos had their hands up, so the referee, falsely count, you know, made the match, you know, ended the match on a pinfall. And then to end the show, as we all expected, Roman Reigns interrupted the match and beat up Rey Mysterio on his son to end the show. You know, so, I mean, yeah, it's what we expected what would happen. And I'm trying to think what else happened. I can't even think of what else happened on SmackDown.
I was watching the Clipper and Maverick game.
Got you. Bayley and Bianca Belair are definitely gonna fight each other. We know that. You know, they continued their feud. Otis attacked the Street Profits when they try to warn him that Chad Gable is just using him. You know, so they're having a feud right now. The feud just got ignited now. I'm trying to think what else happened. Yeah, I can't even think of anything else on SmackDown. On Raw, you had Reggie defeat Shayna Baszler, and then Shayna Baszler attacked Reggie. In the Firefly Funhouse, and looks like she's gonna be involved with Lily. Who knows? Maybe she might get possessed by Lily. But
oh man, Alexa Bliss is gonna kill her next week.
So yeah, something's gonna go down between Alexa Bliss and and Shayna Baszler next week.
Why would you even go? Why would you even challenge Alexa Bliss knowing right now that she's possessed?
Yep. And that's another thing that didn't make no sense about her lose her her, you know, turning on the Fiend. Maybe the only logical reason is that Bray Wyatt, you know, he just agreed to come back at WrestleMania, do the match, and you know, maybe he was originally gonna win, but they changed it because the reason why he hasn't been there is because he's still grieving the loss of Brody Lee, so that's why he's taking, you know, time off. So that would be my only logical reason. Maybe that's why they
or spending more family time because, you know, his wife had a kid and maybe wants, you know, spending more time with her and the baby, maybe.
Yeah, it could be a combination of the two for sure.
And for those of you know who his wife is, she used to be in WWE.
Yeah,
so.
she used to be a wrestler, and then whatchamacallit, like an announcer.
JoJo.
So yeah, but yeah, I heard that. You know, obviously, as you know, he's taking it tough. You know, along with a bunch of people who knew Brody Lee so well. Yeah, I mean, they were really close, and you could see they had instant chemistry, you know, on screen. So, you know, my condolences go out to him and everybody who's directly affected because, I mean, it's, you know, it's shocking that he passed away so young at 40, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else happened on Raw. Oh, yes, Nikki Cross, she defeated Charlotte. Nikki Cross defeated Rhea Ripley and Charlotte, respectively, in a 2-minute challenge. So hopefully this will lead to Nikki Cross getting an opportunity in the near future. Drew McIntyre, he defeated Kofi Kingston with a Claymore kick. A vertical Claymore kick. I don't even know how you could explain it. It's more like a drop kick or something that he gave him. Surprise there. Drew McIntyre is going to be battling against Bobby Lashley for the 85 millionth time for the title. Trying to think what else happened on Raw. I guess that's about it, really. On SmackDown, Kevin Owens failed to win the Intercontinental title because General Aziz attacked him backstage, and you know that allowed Apollo Crews to defeat him in the match. On Raw, the Sheamus lost back-to-back matches to Ricochet and Humberto Carrillo. So I would assume there's going to be a future title, you know, U.S. title opportunity for Ricochet and Humberto Carrillo in the near future. And, I think that's about it in WWE.
What's going on in NXT, right now?
Yeah, I was just about to dive into it. Great minds think alike. What happened at NXT? I'm trying to remember. NXT, NXT, NXT. NXT. I think John Morrison's wife debuted in that episode, if my memory served me right. Let me see. Oh yeah, yeah, right, right, right. They did have the Finn Balor versus Karrion Kross match. Yeah, here's what happened. Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart, they defeated Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. Kyle Gonzalez is currently the NXT Women's Champion. Pete Dunne defeated Bobby Fish, formerly of the Undisputed Era. You had Mercedes Martinez defeat Zeta Ramir. Frankie Monet, formerly known as Taya Valkyrie from Impact Wrestling, who's John Morrison's real life wife. Frankie Monet, she defeated Cora Jade in her NXT debut. And then last but not least, you had Karrion Kross defeat Finn Balor.
Yeah, man, I'm so behind in the NXT right now. I gotta watch it one of these days.
Wait a second. Hold on one second. Oh wait, my bad. That was the week before that. My bad. Adam Cole, this is what happened a few days ago. This week's one. My bad. I gave you 2 weeks ago. Well, I guess you got the feedback from that in case if I don't remember if I said it last week.
Oh, so that was a couple of weeks ago?
That was 2 weeks ago. This what I'm giving you now is what happened this past week.
Okay.
Pete Dunne battled Johnny Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly to determine who was the number one contender, but it ended in no contest. Kushida he retained the NXT Cruiserweight Championship against Carmelo Hayes, not to be confused with Carmelo Anthony. The way Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell defeated Zoe Stark and Zadeya Ramir to retain the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship. And MSK defeated Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde from the Legado de la Fantasma faction. Try saying that 5 times fast. To retain the NXT tag team titles. What else was I going to say? Yeah, Adam Cole, he returned, and, he's going to want to face, Karrion Kross for the title. So, yeah, so basically, they're going to have a fatal five-way at the NXT TakeOver In Your House. So basically, it's going to be a fatal five-way. It's going to be Karrion Kross defending his NXT championship against Adam Cole, Bay Bay. That's what he says,
Bay Bay.
When he talks.
Sorry,
in his intro.
My girls too.
Johnny Gargano, what else was I going to say? Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole's former Undisputed Era tag team mate, Pete Dunne, and those five men, they're going to be battling it out at the NXT TakeOver In Your House on Sunday, June 13th, on pay-per-view. All right, so shifting gears to a man who, who had a lot of success on NXT, in WWE, in a short period of time, or I should say for the past couple of years, is the surprising AEW latest signing, and that is, of course, Andrade, who used to be Andrade Cien Almas. Now he signed with AEW, and now he's going by as Andrade El Idolo. So, and he has a new manager, which is Vicky Guerrero, which works perfectly for his gimmick. I mean, you know, her name is escaping me for a moment. Alistair Black's wife, I forgot her name. Yeah, her real name is Tia Trinidad, but I'm trying to think of her Zelina Vega. You know, that he had her, you know, as his you know, his manager. And now he's going to have another great manager in Vicky Guerrero, you know, as his new manager. So a great signing, a surprise signing, you know. You didn't hear any whispers of him signing there, which, I mean, we obviously knew it was a possibility. But, yeah, it's, you know, good for him. What was I going to say? Yeah, let me tell you what happened at the AEW, you know, pay-per-view event that went down on Sunday, this past Sunday. Of course, you know, the big news was that Mark Henry, the World's Strongest Man, and Lio Rush are now All Elite. So that's a big signing for AEW. So here's how it went down in All or Nothing. Serena Deeb, you know, formerly of you know, the Straight Edge Society about a decade ago with CM Punk, she retains the NWA Women's Championship against Rio. Hangman Adam Page defeated Brian Cage from Taz's group. The Young Bucks defeated John Moxley and Eddie Kingston to retain the AEW Tag Team Championships, and they injured John Moxley because they kept giving their VTE triggers to his head, so they just he wasn't able to pop up on AEW Dynamite this past week. What was I gonna say? Jungle Boy Perry, he won the Casino Battle Royale, and now he's gonna earn a future opportunity for the AEW Championship. Cody, for that one night only, he was the American Dream, and he won. He defeated Anthony Ogogo in that match. Miro, he defeated Lance Archer to retain the TNT Championship. Well, they're going to change the name of that title because they're going to move to what's the challenge? TBS, I think they're going to move to soon. Britt Baker, what's she different?
Aren't they already on TBS?
TNT.
But TBS, they're owned by the same company, no? Turner?
It's the same company. So. Yeah, I think so.
Turner Broadcasting.
Yeah, I think you're right. TNT and TBS are, yeah, they're both from Turner, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the same thing. You're not gonna, not much of a difference. They're actually owned by Warner Media,
mm-hmm.
both.
And Britt Baker, she defeated Hikaru Shida by submission to become the new AEW champion. Congratulations to Britt Baker. Let me see what else happened in that match. I mean, not in that match, I should say, in the pay-per-view event. Sting and Darby Allin defeated Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. Kenny Omega retained the AEW Championship versus Orange Cassidy and Pac, formerly known as Neville. So he's going to be facing Jungle Boy in the near future. And last but not least, the Inner Circle defeats the Pinnacle in a stadium stampede match. Apparently, Sammy Guevara got his revenge against MJF and the Pinnacle. So Jericho's group remains to fight another day. Yeah, and that's basically basically what happened on AEW's pay-per-view event. And then on Dynamite, Young Bucks defeated the Death Triangle. QT Marshall and Anthony Ogogo defeated Cody Rhodes and Lee Johnson. When Anthony Ogogo knocked out Cody Rhodes with the referee not looking. Christian Cage and Jungle Boy defeated Private Party. Red Velvet defeated The Bunny. And The Natural Dustin Rhodes defeated Nick Komoroto in a bull rope match. And that's basically, you know, all your AEW and wrestling news, really. Anything else you'd like to say, Matt, before we head out?
No, just everyone stay safe, have a good weekend, and come back and check out Sports Over Legend every Saturdays at 11, only here on Block Hub Radio.
Yeah, you heard the man. You know, check out his show. And, yeah, come back in 2 weeks. You know, we're gonna be off on this show next week. And feel free to check out my YouTube channel, Sports Over Legend TV. And come back 2 weeks from now and check out the next episode of Sports Over Legend with your host, William Ramo, which is me, and Macaulay Matthew. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.